Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you did not leave us fatherless, that you did not leave us alone, God, but you gave us not only of your Spirit, Father, but your wisdom as well. We thank you for this recent teaching on Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being part partial of our life. We wake up thanking you. We walk in your wisdom all day long. We glorify you because of that, Father. Much of the world is looking for your wisdom. Thank you that you make us conduits of that wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we just spent the last 6 weeks talking about the Spirit of God, who he is, and how he interacts with man. The power of the Spirit working in man cannot be denied by believers, especially if you're current with God. You know how sweet and how dear the Holy Spirit can be. The gap between what the Word says and our experience can lessen and should do so as we grow in his likeness. And the more I pray in the Spirit, the more I realize I'm not surprised with the way the world's going, but I am surprised at how some of the church is going, because people that you counted on for years are now siding with the world. I've tried to find an article by a Hillsong pastor that talked about the reasons why it's no big deal to celebrate Halloween and why we should let our children celebrate Halloween. And the 10 reasons were so worldly. It was in Charisma magazine. The 10 reasons for celebrating, Terry and I read it this morning, was so worldly. It was like, is this guy even a Christian? And he pastors a huge church. Come on, somebody. I mean, I don't know where the blindness is coming from in the church. Obviously, I don't want to judge anybody, but I don't think they're listening to the same Holy Spirit as I am. And that's troublesome. Come on, we can agree to disagree on some things, right? But there are certain things that you don't do. You know, the Bible condemns sorcery and witchcraft and all sorts of things. And as far as I know, all of Halloween is based on that, whether we make it fun or not. How many know? And I won't tell the whole story, but Terry and I went to school with somebody who was born into a coven without a birth certificate and was cursed to be killed when she was 16 and rescued by Gerald Durstein Ministries. And she told us all about Halloween, and that took care of us right there 37 years ago. We stopped even recognizing it. No harvest parties, nothing like that. So I don't agree with that. And it's just amazing to me. It's not amazing to me what the world is doing, because the world is waxing worse and worse. You know, we're not even anywhere near where the first century had to face some of the things they had to face. But we're getting there quick. We're getting there quick. But the Word of God here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. The wisdom of man versus the power and the wisdom of God is no match. It's just no match. The world has a way of looking at things. But I found out over the years, if you can be convinced into something, you can be convinced out of it. And we sometimes forget the wisdom of God, and we argue with the world on the world's rules. You know, if it's the majority think that way, then it must be okay. How many know if we went by majority, we'd be in trouble? But the church but the real church hasn't. But the religious churches of the day have argued and lost the argument based on the wisdom of the world. They've lost the argument because they're not hearing Holy Spirit anymore. They're making deals with the world and convincing the world that they can still be a Christian and still live the way they want. How many know that's sending a lot of people to a Christless eternity? If you can be convinced into something, you could be convinced out of it. This wisdom given to us by the Spirit according to the Word of God is available, not just for a select few, but for all of us. And if we ever needed the wisdom of God, we need it today. We need the Spirit of God to speak to us of the things we get involved with and the things we stay away from. Not only is the wisdom available, but number two, it's sustainable. This wisdom of God is sustainable. It helps us to walk in life godly and separated from the world. There's not much in the world that we can be involved with anymore. There used to be an overlap of some kind. Come on, how many know when you were growing up, there used to be an overlap. People kind of had a fear of God, you know, but there is no overlap now. The things that are involved in the world don't give credence to God. They give credence to the enemy, and we can't go that way. The wisdom of the world is foolishness, or the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. So this wisdom that God gives us is sustainable and able to keep us from harm and keep us from the enemy. Not only is it available and sustainable, but this wisdom the Spirit gives us is transferable. When we pray and lay hands on people, the Spirit of God gives to each severally as He wills, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. We lay hands on people and impart the wisdom of God to them. We need to do a lot more of that, especially with our younger Christians. Come on, someone. Because they're being presented with all sorts of things. I've always said the most dangerous thing is a young Christian with nobody watching them what they're finding on here. They find all kinds of stuff. And just because somebody official sounding says it, they grow in the wisdom of the world and move away from the wisdom of God. That's why in verse 6, Paul addresses this. He said, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Now, he's talking about both spiritual and physical rulers, but mostly he's talking about spiritual rulers. How many know the prince and power of the air is very active in our world? And there's wisdom that comes from the prince and power of the air that people are drawn to, but they would be wrong to follow that, and we need to remind them of that, you and I who are mature. Paul says he's speaking wisdom among those who are mature. Of course, that's talking to you and I. I mean, you know, by now we ought to know, and we ought to walk. Don't make any compromise. I'd rather fail on the side of strictness than compromise. I don't want to compromise. That doesn't mean I don't love people or be concerned for them or converse with them, but I'm not going to argue the Word of God. What I know to be true is true. That's the wisdom that God gives us, not the wisdom of this age. Now it's who can be more convincing than someone else. Sin has lost its meaning while righteousness has been trampled on. Proverbs chapter 4 says this, Proverbs 4, 5, if you're taking notes. Get wisdom, get understanding, says the smartest man that ever lived. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. And then in verse 7 he says, wisdom is the principal thing, the main thing. Therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. How many know for us, that's easy because the Holy Spirit of wisdom is in us. It's not difficult to get wisdom from God because He lives in us. And it's confirmed by His Word. When we get into His Word and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, you and I are growing in the wisdom of God. And it's directly attributed to what God did for us in giving us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God allows us to walk in that maturity that Paul talks about. You know, we can be distracted by the wisdom of the world and enticed to take shortcuts. But there are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. How many know? It takes each step at a time. It takes growing. It takes serving. It takes doing what God said to do. There's no shortcuts. But the world says that we can have that sort of thing. But listen to what it's almost like a warning coming from Proverbs. It says, get wisdom and get understanding. My Bible has exclamation points beside it. Get wisdom, exclamation point. It means to strive with all of our heart to get the wisdom that God has given us. Now, of course, this is the Old Testament writer Little did he know that you and I would be reading this with the benefit of reading it by the Holy Spirit. So it's in verse 7, watch what verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." So what is the mystery that Paul's talking about? The mystery, how do we get in, where will it take us? This wisdom that is hidden is now ours because the mystery is in the Holy Spirit. We used to say back in the day, we don't know how we know, we just know in our knower. Mm-hmm. How many ever heard that before? Know in your knower. You just know that it's the wrong thing to do. You can't explain it. It's not something to be taught. It has to be caught. Holy Spirit says, no, you don't do it. Come on, someone. And if it's a personal conviction of yours that the Holy Spirit knows if you do that certain thing, don't do it. Don't do it. Others can, but you can't. There are things that other people, other Christians that I admire and love very much that are involved in things that I can't be involved in, because I know if I started down that highway, I'd be gone. I've got to stay away from that because I know God has taught me to know myself. But the wisdom that is hidden, Scripture says, from ages and generations has now been given to us by Holy Spirit. Now, how has that happened? Jesus spoke to us very clearly. Let me share with you and remind you of some key scriptures that Robert Morris talked about, and we want to revisit them. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Little did the writer of Proverbs know when he says, get wisdom and get understanding, that would be served up to us by Holy Spirit. I cannot, if I begin to think that I don't know God's will or I don't know what God wants, I circumvent or I cut off the flow that the Holy Spirit wants to give me that I know in my knower. We're not talking about education now. Thank God for education. We're talking about relationship with God Almighty. Jesus said, the Helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, and by the way, he was talking to uneducated fishermen when he said this. Come on, someone. Many of the people that Jesus talked to in his day couldn't read. The only ones that could read were the Levitical priests. Many of the people that he was talking to could never hope to have any education whatsoever. But he was talking to them as well as his disciples when he stood on a hill and he talked to them in his discourse in John. He talked to people that were otherwise ignorant. But he said, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. How many know it doesn't have anything to do with man's education? Thank God for education. I'm all for it. But if you don't know God and you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're fodder for the things of the world, which are directly against the Word of God. Then over in John 15:26, he says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." He calls him the Helper, and then he calls him the Spirit of truth. How many know we learn to trust the Spirit of God to guide us? I try to remember every day as I'm leaving my house, Spirit of God, lead me and guide me today in all truth. Don't let me go down the wrong path. That's a good prayer to pray, because then we can hear what the Holy Spirit says. If he says, don't get involved with that, I don't have to. How many have ever been driving somewhere and you make a weird turn because you just figure you don't want to go that way? Has that ever happened to you? And that happens to me a lot. I go, and I'm just trying to hear God. And it's because God's trying to protect me, take care of me. Hello. The Spirit of truth. Then in John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, again he calls him the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Oh, what a promise. The wisdom of this world can't even match, has nothing to do with that. There's no comparison to the truth resonating inside of us. We say, well, how does that happen? By the power of God. You know, I get it that we teach people when they're saved, we teach them, we want to teach them the basic tenets of the faith and the basic construct of God's word. But we need to do more than that. We need to lay hands on them, pray for them, and introduce them to Christ and let the Holy Spirit, come on, let the Holy Spirit teach them. Because if they can be convinced in by some fancy teaching that we have, well, they can be convinced out by the world. And we see it happening by the droves, young people are leaving the church. Because the world makes more sense, see? You can't even speak truth on most college campuses anymore. They call free speech hate speech now. It's not free speech anymore. They say, well, that's not free speech. You're telling them that homosexuality is sin. There's only two genders. Well, that's hate speech. No, that's truth. It doesn't have anything to do with hate. Who brought the hate in? But you can't talk to them. There's no talking with them. So in essence, unless God reaches them some other way, we've cut off communication from them. They will not hear the Spirit of truth.
Pastor, yes. I think we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And even in those situations that look like people being cut off, the Holy Spirit is still available, still will work, can work, and still can turn them around. Not maybe wholesale, and we don't have control over that. But the Holy Spirit still has power to change even those. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that will happen. Hopefully we can see that. But I think we have to have hope.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The Holy Spirit will do that.
Eternal hope.
We are not able to do that on our own. With the Holy Spirit's power and leading, we can say the right thing at the right time, not because it's us, but because we yield to the Holy Spirit.
Now say that again. Say the right thing at the right time.
Say the right thing at the right time, not on our own. Yeah. Like, I think I'm going to say this now. No. It's when the Holy Spirit says, speak now and say this. It's like, well, I don't think I want to say that. It doesn't matter.
See, how involved does the Scripture get there? Jesus said this. If you say something to cause one of these little ones to stumble, it's better than a millstone be tied around your neck and you cast it to the sea. So it's a very serious thing you're talking about. We present the truth. We hope the Holy Spirit will reach them. But if we try to finagle that truth and open the door wider than God intends, come on, someone. We're not only condemning them, we're condemning ourselves. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel, Paul said. I would love to. I love people so much. I really do love people. But I can't tell them a lie just to make them feel better. Or so that I can get a notch on my belt, pray with somebody, and they have no understanding, and they want to continue living your lifestyle. Come on. Well, I'm building a false hope for you. You may think you're saved and going to heaven, but you're not. Why? I didn't say it. The Word of God said it. He'll lead us into, what's the Scripture say? He'll lead us, guide you into all truth. Wisdom that is ordained for us to live life as an overcomer and share that with others. As I said, I'm not shocked by what the world is doing. I'm shocked by what the church has allowed to happen just in the last decade. I can't believe the church is preaching some of the stuff that I'm hearing. It's a heartbreak. And it's not only churches that you would expect, denominational churches, it's Spirit-filled churches that are going in that direction. It's alarming. It's because they've not heard Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's not speaking to one what he's not speaking to another. Jesus didn't identify this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, saying that I'll send you the Holy Spirit and he'll lead you into all truth, guide you into all truth. He didn't say that just for a select few people. That's anyone that believes and is a son and daughter of God. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, if we just stop there, it's pretty good. We're awe-inspired, but look what verse 10 says. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And He shares that with us. Jesus said earlier in John that He teaches us all things that He hears Jesus say. How many know? That leaves little to guess. We don't need to guess God's will. We don't need to guess what God would say. No. Years ago, when we were first saved, we went through a book. A book was written, What Would Jesus Do? Anybody ever read the book? Back in the 80s? It was a long time ago. And it was a famous book, churches all over the place. We went through the whole book on Sunday mornings. And it was based on doing things that Jesus would do. Ask that question in every incident. What would Jesus do? Well, we know what Jesus would do because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We don't need to guess what Jesus would do. Come on, someone. Jesus gave us an in with Him by sending the Holy Spirit. He says, it's expedient for me that I go to the Father, for if I don't go to the Father, I can't send you the Holy Spirit. And He'll guide you in all truth. He'll teach you all things. What a wonderful thing. We cannot know what God has in store for us, but this scripture says that God reveals it to us. His plans for us are set as we follow Him in obedience. It's wonderful. He has revealed them to us through Holy Spirit. Are you ready for the deep things of God? Ready or not, here He comes. You know, and how does that help? He has the answer for the relationship that you're having problems with. He has the answer for the... He's a counselor to help you figure it out. You have questions, He's got answers. We have this, sometimes we have this thinking that God is kind of hiding from us. Well, I want you to seek me harder. I want you to pray harder. I want you to do this harder. And God says, no, I want you to walk in victory. I don't want to frustrate your life. I want you to walk in victory and be free from all that things so you can worship me and honor me and be a light for me and be salt for me. Not constantly struggling over things. The Spirit of God seeks God. The deep things of God are known by the Spirit of God. That reveals it to us. Our life is not a mystery to Him. Our life is worked out through Him, and He shares that with us. The deep things of God are shared with us. He gives you all things pertaining to life and godliness. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And my prayer has been lately, God raise up a people that are victorious in a consistent, constant manner. And I want to be one of those that are, come on, somebody. I want to be victorious all times and in every place. It's not that the battles are not fought, but the battles are won as soon as I submit to God and resist the devil. My Bible says He'll flee. I've talked about it before, but my grandma Smell loved studio wrestling. Back in the day, studio wrestling used to come to little towns all over the place. How many remember it? How many are old enough to remember? Studio wrestling. It was Haystack Calhoun's, Mr. Clean, and man, she'd buy tickets and go and sit in the front row and scream and yell, yeah, Mr. Clean's the greatest thing in the world. And then they come out with an announcement around 1968, 69. That studio wrestling was all an act. Before then, everybody thought they really got beat up. You know, they bite blood capsules and get all beat up. But it was just all an act. How many know studio wrestling now, even the wrestling that's on some of the channels, it's fake. Come on, someone. Did you know that? Am I crushing anybody? And my grandmother mourned for days. She said, it can't be true. Mr. Clean's just an actor. And man, she tore up tickets, never went to see one ever again as long as she lived. You know, we can't fake it till we make it. We've got to share the divine power of God with the world. Religion is fake. That's why so many people are leaving it. Come on, we want to live in victory and be victorious. It's not that the battle is not real, but submitting and resisting gives me victory. And if I'm walking in, come on somebody, if I'm walking in victory, I attract people. People say, I want to be like that guy. How are you walking above all this stuff that's being thrown at you? Because I trust in God. Come on, somebody. You know, I saw that. We had pastor's prayer today, and one of the pastors were coming back from somewhere, and they hit a deer. And they were just matter of fact, you know, I said, I'm glad you're okay. He says, I'm okay. I said, is the car total? He said, I hope not. He said, I just drove it back to where I was and called my wife and got a ride home. Now I got to go figure it out. Peace of God. How many know that would destroy somebody's week? Hit a deer and crash a car. The world needs to see you and I walking in victory consistently. We're not doing it so somebody can brag on us and give us a gold star. We're doing it to reflect the glory of God in our lives. Go on, somebody. Nobody wants to be on a losing team. You're always beat up. You always look like you got baptized in pickle juice. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm just making it. That's why we're in the place we are. Our voices are not effective because we've fought with the world based on the world's wisdom. You know, well, the economy's gone south, so I'm going to have trouble with money. 50% of marriages are going south, so I'm going to have marriage. Just, I'm counseling with somebody right now that's not part of the church, but they said, you know, every couple has got to have an affair. Where did that come from? Come on, somebody. Say, no, not every couple has to have an affair. You know, you're committed and loving one another, walking. But the world has gotten in and told them that that's a normal thing. So you just get over it and go on. The Holy Spirit of God gives us understanding of the times, the motivations that are driving people to do what they're doing. The Holy Spirit gives us, clues us in on warfare, where the real warfare is. And I'll tell you where the real battle is for souls right now. Come on, somebody. No matter what happens, you and I are going to heaven. Come on, someone. No matter what happens, I'm going to heaven. I'm not worried about that. In fact, Christ tells me not to worry. He tells me I have all victory. What I am concerned about, what I am doing battle, is that the world would hear the kingdom of God, the message of the kingdom of God. This gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world. Then the end will come. I want the gospel to be preached, not some kind of religious mumbo jumbo. Dealing with the things of the world. Dealing on the world's platform of wisdom. Well, the world says this, so we've got to give them that. We've got to compromise. The Word of God does not compromise. It's never changed. The Word of God is stationary. It doesn't move. We can't ask the Word of God to move and line up with us. We line up with the Word. Second Peter 1:3 says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Come on, somebody. All things. I love that word, all. I think it would be much more comfortable if it says most things. God has His divine power has given to us most things that pertain to life and godliness. We could live with that. But it doesn't say most things. It says all things that pertain to life and godliness. That means whatever we need to live a godly life, God has given to us. It doesn't have to be shopped after. It doesn't have to be fasted and prayed for. It's given to us. You're not hearing me. He's given us all things. Verse 11 says, "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." The Spirit knows the things of God and does not take appointments. He does not take appointments. He says, if you need to know, I'll tell you. What did Jesus say? He said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone that asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is open for him." Now we got to deal with that, because either Jesus is, you know, the one that got away. You mean if I ask, I'll receive? You really didn't mean that, did you, God? I mean, I've got to go through all kinds of calisthenics and buy a tape series and listen to it. Come on. Jesus said, whatever we ask. Man, the world is, listen, the world is looking for somebody that knows what they're doing. And they're so hungry for it to even follow some guy with hair all over the place called Bernie Sanders. I can't believe he's got a following. But the world is so hungry for wisdom that they'll follow anybody that looks like they know what they're talking about. Come on, somebody. Are you there? And if we live this kind of life, 2 Corinthians kind of life, being led by the Spirit with the wisdom of God guiding us, we're going to have people ask. Isn't that what we're after? Oh, for the day when the world comes running to the church instead of the church running to the world and trying to convince them into something. Just say these four spiritual laws to somebody and let them pray a prayer and your job is done. No, we want the world to come to us and say, what must I do to be saved? How do I live that victorious life? Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Listen to what it says, Christian. Now we have received, past tense. Somebody say received. That's not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It's not guesswork, folks. "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now, it was nice talking about Holy Spirit for 6 weeks. He's Pentecostal. He's charismatic. He speaks in tongues. He's my friend. He's my buddy. But it's much more than that. He opens up the world of the kingdom of God to us, so that we are without excuse. Because in my thinking, we have too many excuses in this day. And we use every excuse in the world. Well, we don't have the right people in the White House. We don't have the right people in the House and the Senate. We don't have the right people in the Supreme Court. You know, they told me I can't pray in school, so I can't pray in school. Where did we ever get this idea? See, there's a certain place where we don't listen to the law of the land, we listen to the law of God. He says, "I desire all men to pray everywhere, lifting holy hands." All of these things are so open to you and I. All of these things. He says, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We know the things of God because of what was done. Not because of that we are some kind of a special person. In fact, without God, we're nothing. I like to say we're zero with the rim kicked off. We're nothing without God. But with Him, we know all things. If God knows all things, come on, somebody. Don't look at me that way. If God knows all things about the situation we're in, how many know He shares all things with us? So then there's no more questions. It's just a matter of walking it out. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not do the deeds of the flesh. We've made it so difficult. Some circles, we've made it so difficult to be Christian. It's not difficult. It's having a relationship with the living God who's given us a transistor radio to hear what he has to say. Given us a receiver in our spirit. He searches the deep things of God and shares them with us. We become one of the temptations that our flesh gets into if we know something somebody else doesn't know. Kind of feel special. Well, I know something you don't know. Come on, someone. And that's where gossip comes from, because we can't hold it to ourselves. We got to tell somebody else. Ooh, I got some juicy details. I have to share it with you. Come on, someone. God's not into juicy details. He shares everything with us. He shares everything with us. You say, what's everything? Whatever problem you're having, whatever thing you're facing, whatever challenges are in your life, God says, I'll take care of that so I can remove all the obstacles so you can live in victory. And by golly, I don't know about you, but in my house, we're trying to do that with all of our energy and all of our strength to walk in victory at all times. Come on, somebody. And I find that very difficult to do when I think about the wisdom of the world. Spiritual wisdom is what we're looking for. Spirit to spirit. In verse 13, he says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Watch what verse 14 says. Now he's speaking to the flesh. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There's the shortcut. We want to figure it out on our own in the flesh. How many know we're bound to fall on our face? It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. But he who is spiritual judges all things, verse 15, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now again, there could be another version out there somewhere that explains this more. In verse 16, we have the mind of Christ if we do this, if we take this class, if we do that, if we do this. No, it says very simply, we have the mind of Christ. What more do we need? What more do we need? And really what it brings us to a crossroads in our walk. It really does. We used to talk a lot about the permissive will and the perfect will of God. If you miss the perfect will of God, you're in the permissive will of God, I think that's hogwash. It's either the will of God or it's not the will of God. Permissive and perfect. Come on, someone. Are you there? Have I offended you? I'm sorry. It's the will of God. It could be perfect, permissive? What do you mean? We hear God. If God says that he will tell us all things that pertains to life and godliness, that he'll give us all things, that whatever we ask the Holy Spirit, he'll tell us. Where does that leave room for permissive and perfect? Come on. We are into shortcuts in this human race, man. We are into shortcuts. Remember when you used to have to start dinner at 3 o'clock for a 6 o'clock dinner? You get the old oven fired up and make everything from scratch and cook it and get it baked and, 3:30, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock. Everybody's hungry. The aroma's through the house. Now we go stick something in the crock pot and three hours while we're working, we go home and it's done. We are masters of shortcuts. There is no shortcut in the kingdom of God. There is no shortcut. But there is a a word in our spirit spoken to us by Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to talk about the attributes of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the fruit. He gives us the gifts. He speaks through us in tongues. He's charismatic. He's Pentecostal. He's all those things. Wonderful to talk about that. And I think it's good basic teaching. It was wonderful to go back through all those things. But then when we start talking the deeper things of God, it holds our feet to the fire. We're responsible. We know too much to go back. And it breaks my heart. When I read the article that I alluded to earlier, I wish I could find it, 10 reasons why it's okay to celebrate a demonic witchcraft-filled holiday by a very influential segment of Christianity. Come on, somebody. Kids are already attacked so much in our society. I mean, they're handling adult themes at 5, 6, 7 years old. If ever there was a day we've got to obey this word, it's today. It's today. Holy Spirit takes us much deeper. Don't get me wrong, Robert Morris, great teaching. But he takes us much deeper than that. Holy Spirit, now that we have him in our spirit, in our heart, says this is the, and I've always said, listen, he does not lower the standard for anybody. He doesn't lower the standard for anybody. He gives us strength to meet the standard. Come on, someone. Well, I'm almost there. I'm in the permissive will. No, either you're doing the will of God or you're not doing the will of God. And if you're not doing the will of God, stop until you find the will of God and move in that. It's not for us. Like I said, God will continue to forgive us. God will continue to give us grace and mercy because that's his nature. He loves us. We're his children. But he's looking for someone to live a victorious, overcoming life. That's what we're going to draw. We're going to draw the lost through our obedience to Holy Spirit. Good stuff. Preach back to me. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you about it?
Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit tells you.
Good word. Pay attention.
Don't take any shortcuts.
Someone else.
Scripture tells us that if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask. Well, when you're asking the Holy Spirit, hey.
Amen. Amen. That scripture goes on to say he gives liberally.
Yes. Yes.
Without upbraiding.
Yeah. Good word. That's the old King James word, upbraiding.
I think we have to have confidence, too, in the words that we speak to people. Those are seeds by the heart we're going to produce. We have to have confidence in what the Lord is going to tell people. Because there have been times, many times, you don't speak to anything that happened and find out a couple months later they're reading the Bible already and changing it already. And they're, what in the world? They didn't act like they paid attention. Huh. Praise God.
So, someone else.
I kind of like the obstacle part. For God's removing all your obstacles so you can have victory. And, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit speaking to me right now. You have to trust in God and allow those obstacles to be removed.
I thank God that my mentors over the years have not let me be a sissy. You know, I ran to one of my mentors and asked him to pray, and he said, he's actually a professor, but turned out to be a good friend, And I said, I want you to pray with me so I can get free from this thing. He said, what is it? I said, I don't know. He said, I'm not going to pray with you. He said, you go find out, fast pray, whatever you need to do, get a hold of it, and then come back. When you find out what it is, he said, I don't have time to pray for you. I'll pray for you, but I'm not going to pray you find it. You go find out what God's telling you. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? I mean, you know, a lot of people would have just said, to heck with you. I'm out of here. I'll never talk to you again. But because I listened to him and heeded him, it was precious what I heard from the Lord. And I got made free.
It's kind of like he was saying to you, like you say to our kids sometimes. And sometimes we have to say to adults, grow up.
Yeah.
Grow up. Because if you don't grow up, somebody else is going to have to coddle you along.
You just described Christianity right there. A few people carrying a shoulder on their shoulders the whole of responsibility of the church. Can't possibly do it. It's no wonder people get burned out.
And be willing to listen. You know, sometimes if you do get a word from God and he's trying to tell someone something and they won't listen, they just totally cut it off. John's been having that problem. He's having breakfast with certain people, and finally he came to the conclusion, that's it, no more.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Well, it's just a lesson in frustration if somebody's not going to listen. If you just plant the seed and leave the Holy Spirit do the rest. I think twice or three times a week I resign from being the Holy Ghost. I just can't convict anybody. Got to be the Holy Spirit does it. Amen. Amen.
The message puts verses 15 and 16. He says, Isaiah's question, is there anyone who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he's doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. So we have the mind of Christ.
I thank God for the lessons learned down through my life, but if we ever need to be on our game, it's now. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And they don't know God like we do, but I sure hope they do. Amen. And that's should be challenge enough for us to walk in a victorious life so others can come and join us in heaven. Amen.